The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, Gothamites. I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
Welcome to Gotham Undercover, episode 83.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's right. And this week we're discussing one of my three soups.
Weirdest title ever.
Yeah, but it actually had context in the episode, so that was good.
It did.
Oh, me. But it was directed by Charlie Hudson, who's a producer on Gotham, and he was a producer slash developer on the TV show Powers. Mm-hmm. So he's used to the comic book world.
That's good.
And it's directed by this guy, Ben McKenzie.
His
name
looks familiar. Yeah, but I'm not sure where I've seen it.
I don't know. He's directed an episode of Gotham or two, I think.
Yeah. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, Ben McKenzie, of course, plays our good old Captain Gordon.
That's right.
So he's back in the director's chair for this episode. And he also is a big part in the episode. He doesn't sit back and relax when he directs.
No, I think the last time we saw him, he had a little less of a role in that episode. This one, he stepped up. And it was interesting seeing some of the behind-the-scenes shots on Twitter and things like that and Instagram, where it showed him directing and giving actors cues and things like that. So it was neat.
Yeah, when he got stabbed in the last episode, badly, I mean, he was shot and hurt and everything. I thought for sure that it meant that he was going to take a back seat in this episode
right. In
order to direct. But no, he was right back in it.
Yeah, we had just had a time jump.
Right. And he said, hey, I'm back. I mean, he even said to the hi, I'm back in the game. So
first day back on the job, and yeah, he lands up on this one. So
I was really surprised to see that in the episode. And by the way, I'm so happy to be back here.
Oh, yeah, we're glad to have you back, and certainly understand the way things were going and just life getting in the way. And so we're just glad to have you back.
Me too. It's very nice to get back in the swing of things. I've done a couple podcasts already this week, so I'm really
yeah.
Really
you
happy
and
now.
Doug had me rolling.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Did you enjoy my blooper at the end of the episode?
Yes.
Roofy. I couldn't get myself back together after that. I just couldn't. And then, of course,
Lufus and Roofy.
We couldn't stop with it. And then we ended the episode with it, of course. You know, that was... He was taken by surprise when I ended the episode that way as well. So we ended up, as soon as the recorder got turned off, we ended up laughing a bit over that as well. But yeah, we were in good moods that night. And I'm in a good mood today, so hopefully we'll get a few laughs today as well. And, with the Joker in it, and of course the Mad Hatter, we should have some fun with this episode as well. So let's give our ratings.
Yes, I gave it 9 Weddings of the Century wrecking balls.
They came in like a wrecking ball. I like that they actually put the squish sound in. It was really gross and awesome. All at the same time. And I gave it, I only liked it slightly less, and mostly because Tetch just is not my favorite villain. I mean, I like him fine, but he's kind of one note. I mean, he did actually like the exact same thing with the wrecking ball and all that in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked them to be a little more original with him in this episode.
But yeah.
The whole rest of it was great. Just, you know, come on. Give him a little something more original, you know?
Yeah, I understand that he was being a distraction for Jim, but they could have gotten a little more creative.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We'll see. That was my only nit, really.
Yeah.
So I went a little down from that. The rest of the episode was outstanding. I give it 8.5 terrible radio stations. Gotham does not have great entertainment.
And evidently they have radio stations from all over the U.S. They had some that started with a W, some that started with the X, some that started with a K. Yep. I was like, where is this thing?
Well, again, you know, Gotham tries to keep it really nebulous as to where they are and what time they're in, time period they're in. So, again, we're seeing evidence of that. And, you know, Gotham is not where New York City is when you look on a map. A lot of people think that Gotham is the equivalent of New York. It's not there. It's more in the center.
Right.
Of the east area. I mean, I guess it would be like where Ohio is. Is that about right?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, from what I've seen. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not on the coast at all. And Metropolis, of course, isn't on a coast either. National City is on a coast.
Right.
It's more like in California. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff like that. Star City is on a coast, and what's the other one? Central City, also on a coast. Central City is up like near Washington, Oregon,
right?
Something like that. But Gotham, you know, that it's a really nebulous thing where, you know, it's not like Marvel where they use real cities. Gotham is its own entity, and they have moved things around every once in a while.
Yeah.
They take liberties with their cities. So I noticed that as well. And also the entertainment value lacking. Just sadly lacking. I would have liked to hear some good entertainment. And I thought it would have been funny if Wrecking Ball was on. I really do. I thought it would have been really funny. So my discussion storyline titles are... Touch of Madness, Girls' Night In, because we got some visitors at the end of the episode, and then Dine or Dash for Jerome. They're not great, but they fit.
Yeah.
I couldn't really think of great ones. And again, you know, the Touch stuff, I don't know, I just wasn't thrilled, so I wasn't as inspired. But he definitely was, I feel like he was off his game a little bit, and maybe that was why he got caught.
It could be, or it could be that he was just playing this because he knew he had this piece to play in distracting Jim and, you know, that they had to come get him. I don't know. I'm going to give the writer some credit to say that this was part of Jerome's plan, but I don't know. Yeah, he wasn't his same self.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'll trust the writers, definitely. Do you think it was like, I've got something in this hand so that you won't pay attention to this hand?
Exactly. I think he was, not that what we saw Jerome doing would attract that much attention of the GCPD, but maybe Scarecrow might have. But, you know, if you keep them occupied with rounding up all those 48 people that escaped from Arkham, and you have, you know, Tetch calling out Jim, it's going to keep him distracted and keep him from looking into other stuff.
Right, right. So
he presents that biggest target.
Right. So they do all this stuff to, you know, keep. And it was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that could have been taken down And it was something thrown together, I guess, at the last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty gross. I mean, it was something that could have killed a lot of people. It ended up, you know, taking out, obviously, that first couple in a mirroring of something that he had done before.
Right.
The couple in the middle of the street in the wedding gown and garb. And then, of course, you know, putting the all those people up on ledges after being hypnotized. And that was sobering. And especially there was that scene where they were up on the roof and Harvey takes a step and James says they're going to jump off if we go move towards them. And Harvey says, well, they're going to jump at midnight anyway, which, you know, okay, but you're only going to save two of them out of, what, 15 that are right in front of you.
Right. And then they see them on every rooftop and you're just like, oh, net's not going to work for this one.
Right. And there's that sinking feeling of how do you get around this? And then, of course, Harvey comes up with the really great plan of let's get hypnotized.
Well, let's find the rate. You know, they you know, discuss. I thought it was very interesting that Tetch had all the commuters change their radio station before they got out of the car. But they're narrowing it down, and you know, Harvey really falling on the sword there of narrowing stuff down and, you know, getting the right station. But then you see the desperateness of that Jim's got to find an answer and got to find a way to get Tetch to tell these people to stop, because he's really got more skin in the game because of Harvey being there.
Right.
And you just see that desperateness when he finally gets to the radio station and, you know, shoots Tetch's hand to get him to reverse things. And I just appreciate he is thinking ahead. He's getting the radios out and the speakers out so people can hear, but he's, you know, you see he's at a loss when Tetch tells him if you try to stop them, they'll all die. And, you know, you see that desperateness there. You know, it was really, really neat to see just the weight and the impact on him. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, Ben does not do as good a job in acting his emotions sometimes. But I could tell this week, you know, the weight of being with Harvey and knowing Harvey's desperateness there, and then the camaraderie that they have later. I just really appreciated, you know, him directing himself
right.
a little more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that might have been because he had to step up his game in order to direct everyone around him and himself, maybe.
Right.
And, you know, that's a really good observation, because I did see that desperation in him when he was at the radio station. And I liked it when he shot Tetch's hand, not only because it showed his desperation, but because the graphics were good, that it actually shot through the little window.
Right.
Through his hand and through the window. And I thought that was a good special effect. So again, I mean, that's Ben, you know, doing the direction on that. And then, of course, it's showing. I keep saying, of course. I apologize to you guys. I don't know what the deal is with me today. I'm not in practice, I guess. James showing the fact that his will is strong in pulling everyone, literally pulling everyone off the ledge.
Right. He's desperate, and he says, "Save yourselves," and that's so powerful. He doesn't know what to do, and that pause there, that is so, because you can see he just thinks people are jumping, and the look on his face, when there's nothing. And then he finally gets the word that it worked. And it's just, wow. And he almost falls over in his chair. He kind of looks back, making sure Tetch is there, but he almost falls over. You know, it was just so powerful.
I agree. He just, that desperation in his voice when he said, "You have to save yourselves." And it was just so strong. The performance was really good there in that scene. That whole scene, you know, from when he gets there to when he talks on the phone back to the precinct and they tell him everything's set up, to when he gives the impassioned lines to the people up on the ledge, and then when he shows his relief that everyone's safe. Just everything there, I think, was played really well on Ben's part. So it was a good job, I think.
Yeah, I appreciated it. And it was, I really liked that we got to see not so much of Scarecrow, but we got to see these three evildoers coming together and forming a very uneasy alliance here.
Cabal.
Yeah, and you know, they're arguing there in Arkham when they're getting Jerome out, and just to see them, okay. I forget the exact line, but we can worry about killing each other later.
Right.
No squabbling now.
Yep.
But it was neat to kind of see the three of them kind of working this uneasy alliance. They all had that right level of crazy, I guess, for Jerome. And so to see them kind of each playing out their part was neat in this episode.
Yeah. At least, yeah, that trio, I don't know how I feel about them. I mean, I know what we're getting when we talk about Penguin and Riddler. And by the way, that scene with them on the dock, can I just say, the other day, you know, I didn't get to talk to you about the last couple of episodes, but that scene with them on the dock, I'll be happy if I don't have to ever see this dock again. I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Because how many times have they been shot and pushed off that dock? It really made me laugh. But anyway,
But you know what you're kind of getting with them because there's more of a precedent of those two working together. And these three, well, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect with them. I really don't. And I don't know whether they know what to expect with each other. It's going to be really, really, really unpredictable, I think.
Yeah, it's going to, how much is it going to take before that alliance frays? Because you get these people who are individually on their own unhinged, and they've got sort of a common goal. And how long is it going to take before they come apart? And what are the consequences in the meantime? We just don't know. And that's going to be kind of frightening to see, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And I think it's going to get more interesting with them. Definitely. I love the setup. And I'm still shaking my head at Bruce because I see where we're setting up the whole Batman v Joker thing here. Where it's going to be a, you know, tug of war between the two of them forever and ever sort of thing.
Right.
You know, he feels responsible.
Yeah.
For Jerome.
And that's a challenge because we saw when he had the chance to end Jerome that he didn't. And that was the right decision. Because it was that step, okay, I'm not going to kill. But yet it's he not only feels like he feels because he didn't that he's responsible for everything that Jerome does when he's on the outside.
Yeah.
Every death, he feels responsible. But yet he can't come in his code to allow somebody else, even Selena, to end Jerome.
Which side of that coin do you want to be on, Bruce? I mean, if you feel responsible for every death, you can't really... I mean, are you going to babysit him every second of the day? I mean, I think there comes a point where you have to say, well, if I'm responsible for every person he kills, then maybe I got to take him out, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to get him back to Arkham, but that's truthfully a temporary solution. We know, I mean, we're looking at it with our eyes and knowing the history in the background, that's a temporary solution because right. He's going to get out.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I kind of appreciate that struggle that he's going through because we are seeing that formation of that code. And he's so caught up in wanting to know what's going on that I just absolutely love the scene of he and Selena. I like the scene in the GCPD. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's doing...
Oh, I need to protect myself.
Very poor acting.
Horrible there. Acting.
And, you know, you're like, is she really buying it or is she just too distracted? But anyway, you know, they get the file and they get out. And I like that scene, but I absolutely love the scene in the car because she's kind of wanting to know about the payback and things like that. And, you know, he leans in and I think everybody thinks that he's going for the kiss. Even Selena thinks that he's going for the kiss and he opens the door.
Yeah.
And she just kind of giggles and steps out. And, you know, that was just hilarious to me.
I love them together in this episode.
Yeah. And I just appreciate her because she's the scene in the diner later after she's come to the rescue and really saved his butt. She lets him go, lets him do what he needs to do, but gives him that warning of not letting his that debt that he feels and that responsibility he feels get him killed. And that's, you know, good words of advice. Whether he really listens to that quickly or not, I don't know. But yeah, I just really appreciated their dialogue back and forth because he was trying to get to her as well to say, listen, you don't owe me for helping you with that situation with the jewelry. You know, we're even, you know, get it into your head. So they're both kind of trying to speak into areas of each other's lives that they're not ready to hear yet. So mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that section.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. And I also, again, I'm going to bring up a few little things that have happened over the last couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really loving that we're back with why am I thinking Arthur?
Alfred.
Thank you, Alfred. Alfred. See, I'm not back 100%. That Alfred's back home.
Yeah.
Especially that last scene when Bruce said, I can drive you back into Gotham. And he said, I don't need a ride. I'm home. I mean, mm-hmm. I just almost teared up at that scene.
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that that's settled and that he and Selena are good. I mean, their little reunion scene where, you know, she was bristling at him the whole time and then she shows up in his house tossing stuff out of a cabinet. I mean, that was hilarious. So I'm glad that they're back on decent footing. I mean, they're always going to be sniping at each other.
Right.
But yeah, in this episode, I liked that they had each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. As much as they ever do, really. I mean, it's so weird to say that they're getting along because this is as much as they'll get along probably mm-hmm. ever. But I liked those little like shippery scenes between the two of them too.
Yeah.
It's very cute. I think it's very sweet. And I'm sure the actors love it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like they have a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are good. And of course, Jerome and his uncle. Hello.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, this guy, you can see that it runs in the family because this guy
runs rampant in the family.
I mean, he was cook in the circus there, and he punishes people who steal by sticking their hand in boiling grease. I mean, whoo, okay.
Yeah. He definitely comes by his talents, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His uncle is a piece of work. That is something else. And I wondered what the deal was with all the bowls of soup. And then all of a sudden, he reveals that it's just crazy town with the...
Yeah, got Lunkhead coming in to be his muscle. I mean, it shows that even though he's demented, he's a planner like Jerome is,
right,
too. Because as soon as he heard Jerome was out, okay, I've got to make plans. But it was plans for revenge, too. So.
Right. And it shows that, Jerome might have been warped a bit by what has happened to him, like the whole dying and being resurrected thing. But he had those tendencies already. Because it is hereditary. And that, he's crazy town.
I mean, seeing the guy coming with that bowl of soup, that just made me cringe. I think even more than the wrecking ball, because that just that's not easy and painless.
Right.
And I'm just like, the fact that Jerome just doesn't even, I mean, he does, but not balk that much to it. I mean, who knows how much feeling he has in his face, but still. And
yeah, it's still bad.
So do you have any clue about, I mean, I know we're going to get some in the next episode, but do you have any clue why Jerome was getting info from his uncle?
No.
It's got to be something family related. That's what I get the feeling of.
I mean, is he going to have a revenge plot?
I don't know, because there's a mention, maybe I misheard it, but of Jerome talking about she or something like that. And so I'm thinking, did his mom hide something at that school? Does he have a sibling? I mean, you just don't know what's going on. And it's just, it leaves you out there, because the uncle wasn't too easy to give it up too, because he could have given it up and had Jerome off his hands, but he did not want to do that. So it just leaves you wondering what's going on and what's going to happen.
Yeah, I have no idea where he's going with that. I would think that it might have something to do with a person that the uncle is protecting.
Right.
Because it seemed like there was something he was hiding from Jerome.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why wouldn't he just give it up? So is it his sister that he's protecting, as in Jerome's mother? Or
yeah, I wondered that.
Yeah. She may be gone. So I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
I was at a loss as to what he was trying to get.
Yeah. I don't know either, but. Yeah, the scenes in the diner were pretty neat, just to kind of see, to see Bruce still struggling with trying to get free from Lunkhead, to see Selena using her whipping prowess to get the gun. We just got to see kind of character studies in each of these different people. Yeah. And it left you going, okay, what's next?
Right, exactly. I had no idea where the episode was going at all. Which makes for a good episode. And next week's episode does say his next target.
Right.
So, yeah. Maybe he's going after his mom. Or a mom's boyfriend or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
A teacher?
Teacher, somebody from the circus, sibling. We just don't know.
Oh, and there's a headmaster listed.
Yeah.
As a guest star. Stephen Hauk as headmaster. Interesting. Okay, so we'll find out next episode. So that was a really cool scene, and I liked how it was lit and everything. And of course, you know, Bruce is getting the beat down that whole time, and Selena has to come in. His nature, the scorpion and the scorpion and the turtle, where the turtle takes the scorpion across the lake, and the scorpion promises, I'm not going to sting you if you take me across the lake. And then the turtle takes the scorpion across, and the scorpion stings him at the other side. And the turtle says, you promised. And he says, well, that's my nature. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of the deal between them in the diner, because Bruce saves Jerome, and then Jerome turns around, and once he's saved, he won't save Bruce back. Even though it really should have been a, tit for tat sort of thing happening here.
Right. He starts to, but Bruce balks because he knows he's going to kill Lunkhead. And right. He's not going to have another murder on his conscience.
On his hands, right.
Yeah, and so Jerome's like, okay, well.
And Jerome feels like it's a good idea anyway.
Sure.
Not to save him. So he decides, what if I let the guy who you saved me from kill you anyway? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
and it's kind of like, well, that's my nature. It's stupid that you saved me, because my nature is to let you die. And I just thought that was a good analogy.
And I love his little line before he sneaks out, y'all have fun or whatever to Selena and Bruce.
Right. Yeah. You kids have a good time or something like that.
Yeah.
He's always calling them you kids or something like that. Yeah. And Selena saves him And she gives him that lecture, why did you let him go? And they have that coming to Jesus moment there. Okay. And then the other storyline, of course, is why am I saying of course? Ugh. Sorry, everyone, is Barbara of the lit hands and headaches. I wonder if there's a pill you can take for that.
Yeah, it's interesting that we had two shows one night, both dealing with the league, kind of back to back.
I know.
Like, we had Gotham first, and then we had Arrow.
Arrow, yep. And both with female-led versions.
Right, of the exactly. League. Yeah. So it was interesting because we get a lot of the backstory that we didn't know. We didn't know exactly how Barbara was saved by Roz. And so we get to see that. And the really reasoning why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like he could really tell who she was, and he liked that, and he thinks that the league needs that shakeup. So it was really interesting to see him choose her, knowing that she's going to shake things up,
right?
And seeing her really embrace that role. I mean, once she gets past the pain, and I appreciate Tabitha telling her, listen, the Babs I know would push past the pain and let those things in. And once she does, she's on top of things. She knows what's going on and knows that the league's there. I mean, it was so cool just to see that the league show up. I mean, it was like you know, a flicker and then they're there. You're like, yes, that's how the league works.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I loved when they all showed up at the end. Of course, Barbara, she said, well, it's not much of a league then, right? And the ladies are like, we are the point of the sword.
Yeah.
And Barbara's not getting, I mean, she is the epitome of female empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not getting that these women are Amazons and that they are the people to align herself with, not the men that came in.
Well, that and the fact that she has no clue how big this organization is,
mm-hmm,
and how powerful. And so it was really cool to say, teach me and show me. But I loved when I rewatched the episode, and really when I was getting images for the blog post, I really noticed how that when the league pulls their weapons, you start to see less and less women, and until, you know, it's pretty much all guys. And then when the darkness comes in, then the ladies are back with their weapons and taking out the guys.
Yep.
So I just thought that was really cool how they slide in and out and take control of things. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because I think there are still guys left in the league, but they're going to have to realize that, listen, Barbara's a real deal. She may be learning, but she's a real deal.
Yeah. So the leader here is called Layla. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Her name in real life is Shiva, which I think would have been cooler as a name. But her name is Layla, something like L-E-L-I-A.
Okay.
Layla. Which is, I don't know her as a character.
No, I didn't particularly recognize that. And so you have to take in the fact that, okay, if we're looking at this in terms of, you know, once again, Gotham is an Elseworlds story, but mm-hmm, still looking at how things go. So they haven't had a female leader.
Mm-mm.
So you think about that, Barbara is really paving the way for the Al Ghuls to follow.
Right.
So, you know, obviously they're not old enough to take control at this point. You know, age-wise, you know, whether they actually exist in this reality, we don't know. But, you know, it would be interesting to see Barbara paving the way and then maybe handing it over to a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know this character. I don't think it exists. I've tried to look it up, and I think it's cool if they start this new kind of bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously something inside Barbara now from Ra's.
Yeah.
Perhaps that will cause something to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, we don't know what all it involves and how much power she has. We know that She's got some training, but she's going to need more in the fighting styles and things like that. But we just don't know. And the Lazarus Pit in Gotham evidently is gone, but that doesn't mean that there's not ones elsewhere now. And that opens up more possibility for her. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to see,
yeah,
what they do with her, because she has changed so much over the last few seasons. I mean, it's fun to see a character that we really hated in season one and just be crazy different, and emphasis on the crazy, in different different seasons.
But I love her now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. She's kind of that blank slate that people can take and run with, and they've been doing a fairly good job with. So I really appreciate it. So.
And the actress is so good.
Yeah, yeah. Erin does a good job.
Yeah, she really is good. I like all of the ladies there at the Sirens Lounge. Jessica Luke is also very good Tabby.
Yeah.
And I love that Drew Powell is back as Butch-ish.
Yeah.
So he
Butch Grundy.
So he can have kind of closure maybe before he goes full Grundy again.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Again, we're Elseworld, so it could be Butch Grundy for a while.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. But yeah, it was a good episode. I loved seeing Raish back, even if it was just a flashback. Sadiq is really, really good.
Yeah, he is. He is. And just for me, I haven't seen him in that many things, so that's very different than his
than all the other
Nine role.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's cool to see his acting in this.
Definitely. So, yeah. And Cameron Monaghan, chewing the scenery.
Oh, yeah. So I was looking at the images for next week and working on some Twitter images, and I made a fan edit that's up on our Facebook group, but he is just rocking it, and just the Joker and everything, but the name so far, and I'm just excited to see what they'll do with him. So
excellent. I can't wait. I love it when the Joker's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. He's fantastic, and I am glad they chose him. Of course, Tetch is back next week. We have Firefly back next week.
Oh, yeah.
Freeze is back next week, I noticed.
Yeah.
So we have a whole gallery of rogues, as it were.
There we go. I'm about
to say rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. And we do have our classic team-up of Penguin and Riddler back again.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool. I like that they're back together, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have their ups and downs. So very, very cool. Glad to be talking about it again.
Mm-hmm.
I have been talking about it with other people, but it's always good to be back talking to you about it.
Indeed. It's great to have you back.
Yay. All right. So shall we go on to feedback?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll read Chris's. Oh, but speaking of the meanwhile, I need to take a picture because I live in a town called Suwanee, Georgia, which is just outside Atlanta. And we have our own town hall. And this area, you know, Atlanta is real big with the comic book stuff because of Dragon Con.
Right.
Our town hall is a replica of the Super Friends Hall of Justice thing. It is an exact replica of it.
Wow.
So I'll have to take a picture of it, of our downtown, our old town area. It's very cool. They did it on purpose. So
nice.
Yeah. I think it's Cincinnati is where they actually, but ours is exactly the same as that too. So it's very cool. I actually got to drive past it the other day. I haven't gotten out and about very much since we've been here, but I think for the first time I saw it up close, and it was very, very cool. I'll take a picture of it the next time I'm out.
Cool.
So, yeah, when you played the meanwhile, I knew I had to say something. Okay, so Chris says, hi, hello, and welcome. Hi, hello, and welcome back to you as well, Chris. Mm-hmm. I looked up Ogre von Schmidt and couldn't find any reference from wrestling history. But the wrestler in the cover of Gotham Pro Wrestling looked like an old school Mexican luchador along the lines of Mil Mascaras. Yeah, he did kind of look like one of those luchadores from back then. 8 o'clock time slot, ladies and gentlemen, he says, as we see more dead bodies and blood than we saw in the original Halloween. Yeah. Especially the wrecking ball scene, which was right up front. So the Demon's Head and Iron Fist both have glowy hands. Hashtag crossing the streams. Okay, I'm beginning to think Jerome's uncle might be only slightly less insane than he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We agree, Chris. Was anyone else thinking Indiana Jones when Selena whipped the gun out of the hand? Yes, I love her whip skills.
Yeah.
She is amazing with that whip. She has done several things this season that make me think Indiana Jones, I guess. How many times did Jerome go back and forth between Heath Ledger's and Mark Hamill's Joker in the episode alone? Well, if you have to emulate the best. Yeah, I'm okay with him emulating either of them. And I think he puts his own spin on it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he takes the spin of drawing pieces from each of the Jokers so that you could see them, you know, him becoming any one of them in the future. Because those bits of his personality make sense. And so drawing from those roles is a shout out, but it also shows you his character and who he is as a Joker. So yeah, he does a good job.
I agree. I'm currently reading Stephen King's The Dark Tower, and because of this, I loved that Jerome used the word palaver at the end.
Palaver,
very nice. Yeah,
the man in black always wants to have a palaver with his the gunslinger palaver. Or others.
The Batmobile keys were kind of hard to give out this week. It went back and forth between mainly Jerome and Jervis, but in the end it was Jerome's speech at the end of the episode and that fabulous getup he had on that won him the keys. Yeah. I really can't find anything to fault with this episode. I really, really enjoyed this team-up of villains. I just wish Crane was more involved. Well, I think he's going to get more involved. That's just my opinion. Still, I loved it, and so I award it a 10 out of 10 bowls of boiling soup. Ooh, ouch. Ooh. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
And thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Nice feedback.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some feedback from the Green Butterfly.
Yay.
Good evening, Gotham. This is a special alert from your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. This is no laughing matter. Try not to be afraid, but the most crazy, dangerous villains have escaped Arkham Asylum. The radio is not safe, so I don't even know if you're hearing this. You know what we need? A bat signal. No, wait, a butterfly signal. Green in variety would be the best. My advice? Stick together and try to save each other. Our Dark Knight Jim is on the job, which is great. Because our other little Dark Knight in training, he still has some work to do. He's still not very good on his own. I wonder which side Barbara and her League of Shadows ladies will fall on. It'd be great if she could help Jim. We can use a little mystical power as the city falls into madness. Stay safe, undercover agents. And don't forget to tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Green Butterfly out. Now that I've given you my special message, time to rate the episode. I really didn't love it all that much. I mean, so much scary violence. But the intense action and exciting storylines, I feel, still deserve a good grade. Plus, all of our actors are amazing. I once watched David Mazouz on a series called Touch, in which he was a nonverbal character named Jake. So I spent, I think it was 2 seasons, watching him act without any dialogue at all. So I know this boy is good. So today, while he was distracting Harper so Selena could get what they needed out of Jim's office, I know that even though in that moment he was acting really cheesy, I think it just showed extra brilliance because he's such a good actor. He had to act like a bad actor. And it was good. And I love that Selena came and got Bruce out of that sticky situation at the diner. And Harvey was a hero. And the ladies took charge of the league. So many things I loved as I cringed at so many things that scared me. Leaving me with a score of 9 out of 10, gum that has already been chewed. Ew, gross. I can't believe he put that in his mouth. He's totally crazy. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
It is gross, you're right.
Yeah, that was, I just cringed.
Ooh. Yeah, yuck. That is the kind of thing that makes me go, oh. Yeah. So I agree with you. And good warning, Green Butterfly. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. Good warning.
All right. Well, if you want to be like those people, take a listen, and this is how you do it.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
For that wonderful voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we don't have to read that. But we do have news for the next episode, which will be on April 5th. That is this week. A Dark Knight mandatory brunch meeting. Again with the interesting titles. Gordon and Bullock try to stay one step ahead as Jerome zeroes in on his next target. Meanwhile, Nygma hosts a riddle game show. I cannot wait to see that.
Mm-hmm.
In the Narrows and faces his toughest challenger in Lee Tompkins. And Penguin goes to see Butch with a proposal in the all-new Dark Knight mandatory brunch meeting episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, April 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
That's right.
Oh, and how badass was it when Lee broke the hand of that dude?
Oh, my goodness.
Ouch. Oof. Ouch, man. I was dying to talk to you about all these episodes. That's all I can say.
Yeah. So we had good. Hooded Lee.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Dark Doc.
A Dark Doc. There we go. A Dark Doc. Yeah, and this the pictures for this next episode, they look very interesting. There aren't many.
No.
But Jerome is dressed very nicely.
He is, and Tetch is looking stylish himself.
Yes.
A little better than the newspaper hat.
Yes, he has a proper hat.
Yes.
This time. And kind of a, what is that British detective's name? Why am I not... Elementary, dear Watson.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes coat.
Yeah.
He has, one of those.
Well, they're going to a formal meeting there. It's a mandatory brunch meeting. So it is mandatory. Yeah, they're dressing for the occasion.
Firefly is dressed down a bit.
Yeah. But she didn't get the memo.
No, she didn't. Harvey looks a little sloppy.
Yeah.
But James is dressed well.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be a nice brunch.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't get to talk about it, but we don't yet have a official renewal for Gotham yet.
But we have an unofficial one.
Yeah, when the president of the network says that he wants to see more seasons, that's a good sign.
Yeah. It is. So I think we're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just going to be, I'm wondering, still wondering on when they're going to have it start. Because Fox has, Thursday night football. So it can't start till later. If they're just going to start it there or if they're going to start it on a different day, we just don't know.
Right.
Like I said with John, I'd love to see a Gotham and the Gifted back to back.
Kind of awesome.
A comic book hour there. That would be really cool. And maybe move Gotham to 9.
Yeah. Probably a good idea, I'm thinking.
But we'll see. So hopefully, we should know, as it gets closer, as the upfronts start rolling in later in the spring. But We did get some good news for other comic book shows this week. So
yes. The whole CW slate, except for iZombie, but including Riverdale, was renewed.
Right.
Because we have to say that Riverdale is a comic book show.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. Yep. I watch it.
Yeah.
And so everything was renewed. Even Arrow, which I was a little surprised about. It's been slipping a bit, but they do kind of hinge everything around Arrow. I mean, they've named it the Arrowverse, so...
Yeah, I personally think that they will probably maybe make Seven its last.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that frees up some room to bring something new in.
Yeah, I think they might want to tie it up.
Yeah, but I appreciate now with the CW getting another night during the week, mm-hmm. and that adds time for content. And right. So I'm really hopeful that they'll renew iZombie as well, but yeah. Hopefully they can space things out a little bit better so y'all don't have breaks like y'all been having with...
Right, with Supergirl. With
the Supergirl, yeah. And, you know... Oh, it's just crazy. But yeah. That looks good. Coming back soon.
Yeah. And that, of course, means that we have Black Lightning in the slate of regulars, which is amazing. And Charles and I are postulating, since they mentioned Supergirl and Black Lightning, that he might have an appearance from someone on the Supergirl show.
Mm-hmm.
So Superman or Supergirl or something. He seems to be in, Earth 38.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what it looks like. Why would they mention Supergirl otherwise?
Yeah, either that Earth or an Earth that has a Supergirl.
Right. But I'm just assuming since he's on CW and they mm-hmm. mentioned Supergirl that he's mm-hmm. probably on that Earth. I mean, yeah, it could be one of the other Earths where Supergirl is, but I'm thinking because, you know, they're on Supergirl. That's just our assumption. But mm-hmm. it would be awesome if they had a crossover with Black Lightning. Or, you know, someone that's on Supergirl. Can you imagine a Superman Black Lightning crossover?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be.
A lot of fun, yeah.
It really would be. Or, you know, just the girls teaming up.
Or bring in Martian Manhunter.
Oh, God.
You know, that Martian Manhunter to come in and work with them for an episode. That would be so cool.
We were thinking how awesome it would be if the girls crossed over on
Supergirl. Oh, fun.
You know, Thunder, Lightning, and Supergirl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just great. I mean, all the possibilities. Because she hasn't had someone on her Earth yet. Permanent.
Right, exactly.
Someone on her mm-hmm. Earth. So, I mean, I think that would be really wonderful if they were actually on her Earth. And it doesn't preclude any other crossovers either, because that has not been a barrier thus far, you know, to them crossing over. And this means that there will be another set of crossovers, because they do that every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful. And then another thing it means is that since he was picked up as a show regular, Matt Ryan will be playing John Constantine on Legends of Tomorrow. And it's a big deal for me.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think that's going to take the show in some new directions. And I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it.
Oh.
Because it's not going to be quite as dark as his series, his standalone series. But having him in that role, he's an excellent actor, and just seeing him in that role in a team environment is going to be really cool to see kind of what stories that they can bring in.
He is
so
great, and he plays off of those guys so well.
Mm-hmm.
The two appearances he's made on that show, he has just knocked it out of the park.
Exactly.
So I love his interactions. His interactions with Mick, hilarious. because they don't know what to make of each other.
Right.
He, you know, Mick still thinks that he's Rip. You know, he, you know, another Brit in a trench coat, you know, what's the difference? Him and Sarah, they have great chemistry together. I really love what he brings to the show. Now, if we could just get the cowboy. Oh, my God. Why am I?
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex on the show as a regular. The two of them, I think, would be great together on the show.
Definitely.
You know, since we're an anthology, mm-hmm. get them mixed around a little bit. Or at least, you know, a guest star. On a few episodes, because he's crossed over into Constantine a few times in the comic book.
Cool.
So, he has a history there. But I'm so excited about that because Matt mm-hmm. Ryan is just fantastic. So to see him, and this all came from Stephen Amell wanting him to guest star on Arrow.
Yes.
Picking him up off of his canceled show and bringing him over, and now he's going to be a regular on the CW, and I cannot be more thrilled for him.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
So that's our comic book news that has nothing to do with Gotham, but hey, you guys watch all that stuff anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So, and of course, Supergirl's coming back in a couple of weeks, week and a half, something like that. So looking forward to talking about that with John. And there's a new Gotham book out. So hopefully we'll get a copy of that and get to talk about that as well.
Yeah, we can. I hope so. That'd be good.
Yeah. At the very least, I'll try and wrangle myself a copy and share it with you.
Cool.
So so that's it, I think, for this week. Yeah?
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So we're done for this week, and we will talk to you guys later.
See ya.